The words appointed today are from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with the 15th verse. We read as follows in Jesus' name. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." In Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, the Good Shepherd, dear fellow redeemed, the Easter festival is over with all its Easter splendor. Everything is getting back to normal. And yet how sad it is when Easter joy and blessing stop ringing in our hearts, as the spring warmth brings new life to nature, the green all around us. It's wonderful. So Jesus, the light of the world, the Son of Righteousness, by his resurrection, brings new life to our hearts, bearing abundant fruit. This morning, we want to think about this, that we have fellowship with the true Easter Prince. It confirms his resurrection. The events of this text occur after Easter Sunday, sometime at least a week. The disciples are gathered at the Sea of Galilee. They're waiting for our Lord's appearance. And as they get antsy waiting, Peter and some of the other disciples decide to go fishing, their original occupation. Fished all night and caught nothing. Next morning, Jesus is standing on the shore, but they didn't recognize him. And something faintly familiar, he says to them, "If you throw your nets on the right side, you'll have success." Following the Lord's example and his directive, they enclose such a large number of fish that they can't pull the nets into the boat. Realizing it's the Lord, they all made their way to the shore where Jesus invites them, "Come and have the meal." What a friend we have in that risen Lord. And yet how often aren't we blinded to him, just as the disciples? We're so concerned about trifles and getting things that have no solid ground that we don't even recognize him when he comes to us on the way. How often don't we ignore him and have no time or place for him in our hearts? He's been here in his word every morning for this past school year. And yet as we sat here, how often weren't our minds closed to him, thinking about what's going to happen next hour or what happened last hour? He gives us the opportunity to care for him in the humble poor all around us, and yet we're oblivious. So often, we're most concerned about amassing more and more for ourselves, or at least salvaging what there's left in our economic decline. But that arisen Lord doesn't cast us away because of our sins. No, he's the suffering servant who was wounded for your sins and mine on the accursed tree. Those things that are bothering you this morning, the conflicts, the struggles, the sin, the guilt, whatever it is, He already carried it to the cross and blotted it out with his own blood. And then he rose triumphant, assuring us of full forgiveness, life, and salvation. Now, why this particular appearance at Galilee? He had already appeared a number of times. Wouldn't you assume that just one manifestation on Easter would have been enough? We forget how difficult it was for the disciples to believe that the Lord had really arisen. Remember, Thomas wanted to put his hand in the Savior's side. Think how hard it would be for you to believe that somebody buried 3 days in the local cemetery would come forth alive. It would take a lot of time for this logical German to believe that, let me tell you. And also, this appearance is different than the others. Here, Jesus comes to them in his old familiar background around the Sea of Galilee. He does things that they were accustomed to have him doing. He helps them catch the school of fish just like he did at the beginning of his ministry. He prepares the meal. He blesses the bread and breaks it and eats with them as he had always done. It assured them that this one before him was indeed their Lord who conquered death. He said to them, "Come and have the meal." He says the same thing to each of us each morning here at this chapel. In his means of grace, he is present here just as certainly as he was on the Galilean shore, dispensing all the treasures of redemption. This fellowship with the Easter Prince confirms the resurrection. And second of all, it points to the church's great commission. The Lord didn't just appear there to assure the disciples that he had risen. He had another purpose. Remember, on Maundy Thursday night, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And so here, the gracious Savior lovingly comes to Peter and reinstates him publicly so that all can see it, so that everybody knows that he is an apostle. And notice that just as Peter said no to Jesus 3 times, said, "I don't know that guy," the Lord inquires of Peter 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" By the use of the various different Greek words for love, Jesus is asking Peter if he loves him with agape love, the love of a believer for God, in addition to filial love, love of brothers. As Jesus lovingly reinstates Peter to the apostleship, he points to the Great Commission, which is the responsibility of the entire church, and the public ministry. He says, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." First of all, each and every one of us here this morning have the responsibility to build each other up through the word and through our example. We will strengthen each other. And as we leave here this spring, we will go forth into our separate lives, striving to draw more to the Savior, regardless of where we are and what we're doing. In particular, the Lord has established the public ministry of the Word, where he provides shepherds under the Good Shepherd to feed the flock of God. Each of these shepherds will feed the lambs, the little ones, and the sheep with the green pastures of the means of grace. To be sure, your pastors are going to use the hard medicine of the law to point out sin and error. But his primary purpose is always to dispense the sweet balm of the gospel, the joy of salvation, to wounded sheep, to wounded souls burdened in the struggles and problems of life, the wounded souls of each and every one of us. He gives us this treasure for our comfort and our need. And as we tire from our labors, as the disciples, he invites each of us, come and have the meal, the feast of salvation, where he gives us the strength to do all things through him. Where is the feast found? It's found in Word and Supper. There, he gives us the power to face all the conflicts of this tempestuous sea that we're traveling on, all the way to heaven's shore, when we will have perfect fellowship with the Easter Prince, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep and sends shepherds for our needs. Amen.